Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're not alone in having a hard time choosing snacks for your little ones when on the go. A large proportion of parents believe that the food available when out and about just isn't nutritious for kids. Yo Valley have taken this on board and have now launched their little Yo pouches. Not only are these squeezy yogurts easy for kids to eat, they are made with British organic milk, real organic fruit purees and live cultures. These are bursting with flavour and a good source of nutrition for your little ones. Available in two delicious flavours, there's the red berries and the apple and pear, the Little Yo's pouches are sure to keep children satisfied and full. To find out more, head to yovalley.co.uk and find it in your local supermarket. Hello and welcome back to Series 9 of Food for Thought. I am so excited to be bringing you the latest series and I just can't thank you enough for your support, which has seen millions of you tuning in and sharing your positive reviews. I'm Rhianna Lambert, registered nutritionist, best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. Over the next 12 weeks, my special guests and I's mission is to expose why so much advice can often be misleading. And we'll be using proven science to sort fact from fiction and dispel everything that remains confusing in the world of wellness. With over 50% of the UK population either overweight or obese, it's no wonder that there's so much interest in weight loss. And while weight loss is often considered healthy, if you gain the weight back and then lose it again over and over, it can become that awful, vicious and dangerous cycle of yo-yo dieting. This week's Food for Thought, I've been waiting to get this guest on for such a long time, is with TV personality and our very own Queen of the Jungle, Vicky Paterson. We explore all the promises to help you lose weight that aren't backed by scientific evidence and may actually hurt your health more than help it. Hello, Vicky.
Hello, honey. How are you?
I am very well. I can't actually believe we finally managed to get this podcast up and running.
I know, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. Do you know what, honestly, you're such a nice person. I've been dying to do your podcast for ages. I love what you stand for. But it's only since starting a podcast myself, I've realised just how demoralising it is trying to pin people down who are either constantly busy or like, just not aware of like how much it means to you to secure a guest. So since I started doing mine, I made a conscious effort. I was like, if anybody asks you, you must always make time because I know what it feels like when people are like, oh, I'm swamped that week. So no, I'm here and I'm all yours.
Thank you. It's so kind of you because I think this episode is going to help so many people. We can talk about things that I know you're so open and honest about, which is one of the reasons why I wanted you to come on, because you've been so open with your dieting journey. And how many, I mean, over the years, if we just go straight in,
you've Let's probably go balls to the wall.
Yes, babe, yes. How many diets would you say you've probably tried over the years?
Oh my God. I mean, you name it and I've done it. I'm literally just like a poster girl for fatty diets and things you probably shouldn't put your body through. But I don't think I'm alone. Like it's actually so disturbing when you like, if you talk to your mates in your group chat or if you like open a magazine, it just the things that like are promoted or the things that women will try in desperate pursuit of this supposed perfect body. God, right? I've definitely done Atkins. I know I've done Atkins. I know people are sort of calling that keto now or keto, I don't know, but like, it feels like Atkins to me. So I did keto. I've done, definitely done the 5-2. I did no carbs. I did, I tried for a while to do this like 1,000 calorie a day thing. I don't even know where I got that from, some dark place on the internet. I remember reading Beyonce was doing this like honey cayenne pepper thing. Have you read of that?
Oh, yeah. I have.
You know what? Weirdly, mate, anything, you name it, I've tried it. But I remember as well, it wasn't so much a diet, it was you slid into your DMs when I was doing that apple cider vinegar thing.
Oh, yeah.
Can you remember?
That was a while ago.
I didn't even do it because I went to put it up on my Insta and be like, everyone's saying I should try this for digestion. And you were just like, Vicky, stop. And just stripped your teeth in apple. And I was like, well, that's going back in the cupboard. So yeah, mate, you name it, I've tried it rather recklessly, I think. It's definitely taken me getting into my 30s to be a bit older and wiser on the diet front.
Well, this is just it, because you want to know. And I think no one's to know. I think we all get sucked into it. I've been there. I know pretty much everybody has been there, because it does impact your mental health, doesn't it?
Oh God, honestly, it's, I think I always convinced myself for years that like when I was thinner, I was happier. Like that was probably my mantra at some point, which is just like incredibly destructive for your mental health. And it's taken me experiencing all these like bad diets and terrible fads and stuff to realize actually, and being really slim, because at one point I was super skinny, and it's actually taken all of going through all that to realize like being thin, it doesn't make me happy, and now it's completely not the goal. Like what I like to be is healthy. What I like to do is enjoy things in moderation. What I like is having a life and being strong. So yeah, the pursuit of perfection or a number on the scales or just skinniness in general impacted my mental health terribly, and led us to be really miserable, yeah, and dead sad, man.
It's awful. And do you think it was more of a you got sucked into it via the way you came into the public eye, or was it something that was always there before?
Do you know, I'd love to blame, I mean, it would be such an easy scapegoat for me to blame, like, oh, I've been in the limelight or in the media for like 10 years since I was pretty much early 20s, still a kid. And it would be so easy for me to blame that medium. But I don't think it would be fair. I think women, for whatever walk of life we're in, put immense amount of pressures on myself. I also think there are societal pressures. I think more recently I've discovered that this pressure has come from men. Not please don't think that's a sweeping generalization, guys. Some of you are fabulous, but yeah, some guys, and also from other women, like it's just so hard. So no, I think whether I was like working in M&S or a teacher or a nurse or in the public eye, like wherever I was, I think I would have still felt the need to look a certain way. You know, I'm basing that as well on my mum, mate. Like, my mum is beautiful, but it's taken her a long time to have a really healthy relationship with food and self-love, and sort of all of that. So, no, I think I was on that course anyway, regardless of me job.
It's really nice that you're actually open enough to saying that, because a lot of people develop their relationship with food or the way they see themselves through, like you mentioned, your mum. It starts kind of ingrained from a young age, and it's not our parents' fault. They weren't aware, but even them discussing their body shape or a diet they're on kind of has an impact on you as well, doesn't it?
Oh, do you know what? Honestly, I mean, I didn't even think about it until you said it there, but no, like we're constantly surrounded from such a young age by images of what we're meant to be, or women discussing what they want to be, or like women changing themselves to fit some sort of ideal. And kids aren't daft. Like I've got no kids of my own, but my partner's got loads of young kids in his family, and I watch and I think, you don't miss a trick. Like the young lasses, like they're so on it. So I always make sure I'm super like positive and affirming around them. Like, you look so pretty, you're so strong. Like, what we're reading today, like I try and let them know that like they're just perfect as they are. Because yeah, I remember some of my earliest memories being wanting to look like the other girls in my class, and you know, like I'm such a curvy person, but before I hit puberty, that was just blobby. I was just a bit smaller and squatter and just generally squishy. I was a squishy kid, which
we all were. Puppy fat, babe. Puppy fat. Yeah,
I think like if I saw a squishy kid, I'd be like, "You're so cute!" Like I would absolutely love that. But obviously, when you're a child and everyone is slim, like it's something more difficult to get your head around that you're different. So that's like one of my earliest memories is sort of wanting to be able to wear crop tops like the other girls, which, that was just a little bit of a hard one. So yeah, so I think I am conscious about trying to, any young lasses I come into contact with, just letting them know that they're all beautiful, whatever shape they come in, whether they're slim or squishy, it's lush.
I love that. It's so important, yeah, because we shouldn't be putting our things on wanting to be, it was like the Britney Spears time back then and all the,
oh man,
that's what it was.
Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Spice Girls?
Well, I love the Spice Girls. Yeah.
God, we all did, mate. And I remember we all dressed up as the Spice Girls for school. And I really wanted to be Victoria. I had blonde hair. I don't know why. I was fighting against the baby thing. But yeah, I wanted to be Victoria. And then I realised she would probably have to wear a crop top. So I didn't. I decided to be baby. Like, what the hell? I was like 9. It's such a horrible thing to think about. But no, I'm definitely going to try and encourage my children, if I haven't, to just embrace whatever style they have and wear crop tops regardless, man.
Yeah, precisely.
Crop tops for everybody.
Yes, crop tops are the way forward. And you were 9 years old, Vicky, and I think that's going to resonate with a lot of our listeners who probably have very early memories as well. Do you think it's, so you obviously tried, like you said, you listed a whole list of diets that you tried when you were younger. Were they both ends of the extreme spectrum? So would you go through periods of restriction or experience severe hunger and then end up eating or overeating? Did you kind of go through this complete and utter cycle constantly? Was it a one after another?
Yeah, I think so. I'm like, it's a while ago now, you know, but like I am thinking back and I think that definitely makes sense. I think your body's not meant to be restricted in terms of its nutrients, its food, the things you enjoy. And I just think it's proper base. It's just such, like, so basic logic. Like the minute I tell myself like, oh God, you can't have that. Like no carbs, for example, like I'll just be walking down the street and like, I'll see dancing baguettes. Like, yeah. The minute you tell yourself you can't have something, it's just everywhere, isn't it? So yeah. No, so for a week I did no carbs, or it's like, if I just did like loads of lean protein and green veg, whatever I was doing, like it has to have a shelf life. There has to, you can't continue life with that level of deprivation. So no, I'd restrict and then binge. My poor little body just wasn't a happy bunny. I wasn't happy, man. Like I was either hungry and feeling like I was missing out on stuff, or like I felt really guilty because I was overindulging. I never had a healthy lifestyle. I like lunged from one diet, an unhealthy fatty diet, till the next. It never felt good about myself.
It is the mental aspect, like you said, the dancing baguettes got me, because I think that's what we try and say to everyone, is that if you don't allow yourself, but it's easier said than done, isn't it? If you don't allow yourself to enjoy stuff, then you are going to overthink it. And you mentioned guilt as a word that I hear a lot in clinic. You get that guilty feeling and then you want to do something to compensate for that or deal with it, which often leads to then trying something new and equally destructive. Would you say you were also sent when you reached a position? Because I loved it when you were Queen of the Jungle. You know, you've done some amazing things, babe. I mean, you've eaten insects and all sorts of stuff.
You name it, I've had it in my mouth.
You've eaten everything. But have you ever been sent any really weird extreme diet products before to try?
Oh my gosh. So do you know what, like, I don't know, this is really scary what I'm about to say. Like obviously I know the things I won't do now. Like I wouldn't take fat burners. I wouldn't take anything that is like a pill that claims to make you lose weight. I wouldn't take any of those like sort of scary herbal teas that make you poop. I wouldn't do any of those things now, but mate, like 10 years ago, I would have absolutely done them. Like all it would have taken is a slightly clever marketing ploy. And I would have been like all over it. I didn't come from a place of like, God, let me promote this and fool everybody. It was out of my own sheer desperation to look how I thought everyone else wanted me to look, how I thought I should look. That is when I felt the pressures of my industry, is after I won the jungle. And I wanted to look like everybody else. I wanted to fit in. I had wild imposter syndrome, right? And I was like, God, I don't deserve to be here. Everyone's so famous and so pretty and so perfect. And I've watched them on telly for years. Why am I here? So I felt the pressure then. Probably would have been, sorry.
No, it's just everybody felt, the thing is everybody fell in love with you for being Vicky when, you know, yeah. That's what people love. And isn't it crazy how that wasn't enough even then?
Yeah. No, I know. It should have been enough. Do you know, it's enough now. Like, it's mad. Like, it's taken us years to get my head around everything. But huge changes like that to, like, the way people perceive you and you're just your day-to-day and your life in general, like, I think you'd have to be a pretty resilient person to wrap your head around it very fast. But it took me years to come to terms with it all. And actually, like, what people respond well to when I do it on social media or what people come up and talk to me in the street about is, like, use how I use my platform to show that I am normal. And, yeah. Like, having treats or having a little grazed knee or just, like, enjoying life is all so normal. So, no, it took us a while to get my head around it, Ray, and I'm pleased I have now. But it was hard.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to an episode that you recorded on your podcast and you said it's because of Peter Andre. Was it Peter Andre that you were yourself or something? I was like, brilliant. It was a brilliant episode. And you were both chatting about the industry and trolling. It was about trolling because it really resonated with me because I'm nowhere, don't nearly have the scale that you have and you're subjected to. But even I get so upset by things. I don't know how you deal with it, but it's Peter that was like, you're yourself, and that's what people love.
He's so nice, Peter Andre, man. Honestly, like, what a buzz getting him on my podcast. Right? I was absolutely over the moon. Such a nice, nice man. Like, literally, you see him and you think, nah, I don't want to be that nice, but actually, he just is. Yeah. He came up to me once and he was like, really, like, I love your social media. Yeah. And I was like, that to me was just mental, like, from this little girl from Newcastle, we kept Peter Andre likes me social media. I was like, blown away. So I was like, right, he's like, you're just you. He's like, you're so funny, you're relatable. Like, he's like, I'm not even a woman, but I get it. And I was like, oh God. He actually asked us for advice. He was like, what do you think I should do with mine? And I was like, Jesus Christ, Peter Andre. I tried to play it cool, but I think the advice was just like, oh Peter, we all know, like, you're fit and, like, we all know your kids are gorgeous and we all know your missus is wicked, like, if anything, just show that you're human, like, have a laugh. And he says he's remembered it, and his Instagram is great, so who knows, like, if I've had some sort of, like, positive effect on Peter Andre's Instagram, that's life goal right there.
100%. You've impacted Peter Andre, and I reckon you also. It's true. This is the thing. This is why I wanted you on. Is that your social media? If we discuss social media now in relation to diets and stuff, is so empowering for young women, actually all sexes, all ages, because you are open and honest about it. What was the turning point? Was it one diet that you just were like, I've had enough. I don't want to do this anymore.
So it was a bad year I had, Rhiannon, and I had it, like, it was a couple of years ago now, it's probably about it'll be coming up 3 years ago, and it was like I just was turning 30, and I was in retrospect a pretty toxic relationship, and within 1 year I lost my best friend, and I lost my grandma. It was like both amazing people, and my relationship broke down. I was meant to be getting married and it just didn't happen, didn't transpire. But like I say, it wasn't the right relationship for me to be in either. I was kind of in denial at the time. And anyway, like, I had been, because I was unhappy and struggling to deal with everything, I had been, like, exercising, like, religiously, probably over-exercising if I'm honest, just looking for some sort of release because I was, all of my emotions were so, I think I was, like, refusing to accept what was going on and just not dealing with things properly. So I found out exercise as an outlet. It felt like I wasn't in control. I wasn't in control of my life, of my relationship, of things I was losing. And I used that exercise and my diet to as a way of gaining some sense of control. Which of course I see now is, like, pretty futile. I should have addressed what was really wrong. And then right at the end of the year, everything fell apart. And I didn't have the energy to be what I'd been trying to be for so long. I didn't have the energy to be strong. I didn't have the energy to be stoic and super resilient. Like, I actually was so drained from trying to be this positive, strong girl. I could take on anything, and that I thought everyone wanted to see. I just let me guard down. The facade totally fell, really. And actually, the support I received from people was so overwhelming that it ended up being like a catalyst for like who I am now, the version of myself I show on social media, which is pretty organic. It just felt like the more I talked about things that are bothering me, the more I talked passionately about actually my truth, the more people came forward with theirs and encouraged this like super important dialogue, like whether I was discussing loss or grief or being cheated on, being hurt, being single in your 30s, fucking wanting kids and not knowing whether it's going to happen, like not loving, not looking like everyone in the magazines, like being sick of denying yourself food and wanting a gin and tonic, like whatever it was I was talking about, like it just felt like so many women want to talk about it too. And I, what have I been doing all these years? Like, why have I been like acting like I didn't have all the same feelings and emotions as everyone else? So no, it was about 3 years ago, mate, where I was just so tired and I didn't have the energy to be anything other than myself, that this sort of person that you see on social media was formed. And I've never looked back. I'm so happy now.
It's like you reached a breaking point. And what's interesting is you had to live all of, unfortunately, all of that out with the public knowing, which had, like you just said, the pros to it, but obviously the cons were huge, the stress. I think everybody just wanted to give you a big hug, I think, Vicky, to be honest. It's just, it makes you on.
I got a lot of that.
Yeah, just want to scoop you up, give you a big cuddle, because I think every woman, like you said, out there can resonate. You raised so many factors there with how you thought other people were judging you based on how you looked, more than about you had to pretend to be someone you weren't. And I think so many people feel like that all the time, but you're not alone.
No, and I think that's the lovely thing about social media. Like, you almost touched on it before, like there are some serious downsides and we just can't shy away from that. Like, but I think there are more positives. Like, it's this wonderful community that it spans the entire world, and we've got the opportunity to truly like positively affect change and help other people and make women feel like they're not alone, and men for that matter. Again, generalization, most of my followers are female. So I just think it's so lovely to be able to positively affect things and use my platform responsibly, which is probably something that I didn't know I had potential to do in my 20s, but now something I take very seriously as a 30-something.
So let's touch on age a little bit, because I'm also in my 30s, but you've reached out before and you've said, first of all, being single in 30s, there's an expectation there. You felt you should be eating, looking a certain way. And then you mentioned, I remember you talking about alcohol and drinking as well at some point, how you just had enough. Was that because you'd had a health check, or there's something that triggered that realization?
Oh, absolutely, mate. Like, I had such a quite a rude awakening. Obviously, 33 this year. And I know, like, everyone has their own journey. And, like, oh my God, like, getting a degree in your 40s, still an achievement. Falling in love in your 30s, still beautiful. Kids, whenever, it's always a blessing. But it's so hard to tell, like, a single 30-something-year-old woman, like, just relax and trust in your journey. Like, fuck off, man. Like, don't tell me to trust in my journey. Like, you're not the one with, like, ovaries, like, dropping like flies and, like, no men that can trust. Like, it's so stressful just hearing that from someone. It doesn't go in yet. Yeah, like, people could tell me over and over, you know, I had a kid at 39. Like, it didn't matter to me. It was just like, I was just so stressed that I was always going to be alone and never going to be able to find, like, a man who I trusted and loved me for me. And I was never going to have kids. Like, it honestly consumed us. So I went and got all my fertility checked when, obviously, I broke up with my ex, because I was expecting to have kids by now. And when it stopped looking like it was a reality and I actually accepted that, like, I went and got, I made like a conscious decision to just know where I stood. I was scared because obviously you're terrified. Like, what if the news is bad and that?
Yeah.
It is for some people. So I went and it was honestly not like dead good news. I'm still capable of having children and conceiving naturally now. But I had put my body under a lot of unnecessary stress with the decisions I chose to make in my 20s. And like, I just hadn't once considered the ramifications of my lifestyle, like hard partying, drinking, like crash diets, anything. Like, I hadn't. You don't think about these things in your 20s. You're too busy, like, just being racked with insecurities and trying to do what everyone else is doing and finding yourself and having fun. And like, I've never ever thought, like, oh God, like, who you were in your 20s would impact who I wanted to be in my 30s so much. So no, the woman said, like, the doctor said, if I kept up my lifestyle the way it had been in my 20s, like, it would just be super hard for me to conceive naturally, which is so obvious when you think about it. But like, why had no one told us sooner? Was I just expected to know? I felt so frustrated and let down. Not just by myself, but by like medical professionals everywhere. Oh, yeah. I don't know why I thought it was their fault, but
well, no, but it's almost like the messaging is don't get pregnant and enjoy yourself and live life to the fullest time. But it's all very well saying that in your 20s, because I feel like it's hard enough to get pregnant anyway. Like, the odds are so small that if it's something you suddenly want to do, it's not straightforward. It takes couples on average, it can be up to 2 years plus to get pregnant. But we're not told that when we're women and all that stuff. And then it sucks because being, again, we're not, I hope there are male listeners to this podcast episode, but we have to say it. Men are lucky because they do not have this biological clock that we have as women. So the feelings that you felt, Vicky, it was totally okay to feel that way. How were you meant to feel otherwise? Of course you were worried, and it's totally natural. But again, people say, oh, you just want to live and have fun. There's still a balance, isn't there? Of course we want everyone to have fun, but you have to be aware of the consequences.
I think that's just absolutely it. And I think it's so, honestly, like, it's striking that balance, right? And it's saying, like, oh, you can absolutely like enjoy your 20s and you shouldn't feel pressure to compromise the things you want and to live on anyone else's timeline. And just because your kids are having your friends are having kids doesn't mean you have to, like, absolutely trust in what you want. But then we should also just women in their 20s should be armed with the knowledge that, like, whatever decisions we're making are gonna have an impact on who we want to be eventually. And exactly like you say, they should know it can take up to 2 years to have a baby. Like, we should know all these things, and I just didn't. Like, and I don't know, I feel like I learned so much at school, which I can't remember ever using algebra. Like, I have never used a pie chart in my adult life. Don't get me started about Shakespeare. Like, yeah. I'm very proud that he's British and he was great. Like, well done, pal. But obviously, what? Like, could you not have maybe taught me a little bit about fertility help me do a mortgage? Like, could I just have learned something useful, please? Maybe it's even food, like, maybe it's even about, like, nutrition. Like, just teach me things that are going to help me be a good adult. Because I was so unprepared for all the news I got in my 30s. Like, whoa, so you mean being a heavy binge drinker might stop me having kids? Shit. It was awful. Like, it was as if overnight, the rug was pulled out from underneath me. And adulthood hit me. So now, like, I do bear that all in mind.
Well, you're also 33. You're a master chef. You were a runner up, weren't you, a master chef?
If it wasn't for Greg Rutherford, the ginger bastard, I would have had that in a bag.
But you know what, I thought you were absolutely brilliant. And I know Greg Wallace well, and I've helped him with his nutrition in the past. And
MasterChef, have you? Because he's such a nice man, Ray. Yes, I love that.
So Greg's a great guy. But I was thinking, right, Vicky's on MasterChef. And then I was like, I've got to be honest, I was blown away. You're a really good cook. Like, really good. Is it something you got into after all the dieting, or have you always had this hidden, like, cooking genius just hidden away?
No, honestly, I mean, I'm a reality TV star, so by the very definition, like, I have no, like, I have no talent. So no, nobody knew. Nobody, like, everyone was so surprised by the cooking thing, like, myself included. I remember, like, every week you have, like, the vote-off thing. Super nerve-wracking. And that I just text my agents and I'd be like, right, it's done. I've presented my meals, seem to go well. And I just get this, like, stock reply every week, like, we're really proud of you, Vicky. Whatever happens, well done. Like, you've done your best. You've got so much. And I thought, you think I'm fucking going? Like, every week, Rhiannon, the same message. And, like, every week I just message back and be like, yeah, I'm through. And they've admitted in post, they were like, Vicky, we thought it would be great exposure for you, but you'd be in and out in a week. And I was like, oh, shows that you know. I have an incredibly competitive side, which I'm sure people are becoming quite aware of. If you put me in something, regardless of the odds, like, I'm scrappy, I will want to win and I want to do well. I think it's, like, proving to myself I'm capable. I think it's part of the way I came up in the industry. So I haven't scored a goal for the country. Like, nobody loves hearing me sing. It is literally just a case of, like, people assume I'm a bit rubbish. So I always try and prove everybody wrong. I think it comes from a place of spite, which isn't healthy, but hey, I'm not complaining. Look where I am.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's great that you've got that drive, and it's absolutely wonderful when you prove people wrong, because again, it's a stereotype. You said, oh, I'm a reality TV star, therefore I can't do anything else. It's this awful attitude. I get it with being blonde, if I'm being honest. Oh, she's blonde, therefore she can't be smart. It's really
bad. That's ludicrous.
Really bad stereotypes that you get. And we deal with it our whole lives, don't we? But your cooking skills, that must really help you now, leading the healthy lifestyle and obviously getting out of that dieting process you were on anyway.
Absolutely love it, mate. So, like, I'm not going to harp on too much about it. I don't want to plug anything, you know what I mean? But I became a WW ambassador this year. And with that, like, there's a wealth of recipes, and it's probably saved us in lockdown. Like, I know everyone has gone through certain different phases, and there's been the Tiger King, and there's been the banana bread, and there's been the crying watching, like, Netflix. I know, I've been through them all.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that, I'm sure we all have. I mean, you're probably slightly different with the baby. You've had to keep your head on. But I think what's kept me, it's provided me an awful lot of solace and comfort in what has been quite an uncertain and scary time is cooking. I try loads of different recipes. I've been getting out of my comfort zone. I cooked with miso, Ray. I'd never had used miso before. It was very good results, I was pleased.
So, what did you make? I love lovely. Miso. What did you cook with
miso? Oh, God. So I made miso cods and, like, brown rice and, like, chili broccoli. It was delicious. I think I did, like, a nice orange and miso glazed salmon as well. I know.
Wow.
Yeah, my fella is not complaining. So, no, getting into me cooking has been great, because it's opened so many doors. It's awakened, like, a passion in me that I didn't know existed. And I just feel like everyone needs passions, man. It's so good for the soul. So, yes, that's been great. But, yeah, exactly like you say, like, it's so lovely to be able to create something with your own hand, to get a sense of achievement, and you know what's in it. And I don't know, I sit and plan my food for the week. I'm getting to be such a geek. I'm also getting to be quite a snob. Like, you know, if you go to a restaurant or your friend's house and you think, oh, I could have done better than that. Like, I really don't enjoy that side of it. I'm not proud of that bit. But the rest is
good. You're a MasterChef runner-up now, Vicky. I think you have every right to say, you know, I've been on MasterChef. I know how this should be. I could do this better.
Oh, I give you full permission to give me a slap if I ever come out with that, right?
No, I think it's lovely to hear. And I think you mentioned lockdown. I wasn't actually going to bring this up, but I think we should have a quick chat about it, because I think, and I know for a fact, so I've had to hire, it's actually very sad, but I've had to hire another eating disorder dietitian for my clinic, because the demand for people going through lockdown needing nutritional support or to see someone that works with food, relationships with food, has been overwhelming. And it's impacted everybody on a huge scale. And I know you've discussed this, because your whole podcast is about, you know, how to survive isolation. Have you experienced any of the same kind of thing or spoken to anyone else about this?
I mean, that, do you know, it, although what you just told me is super shocking and I wish it wasn't the case, like, I'm actually not surprised. I read a post that was like supposed to be funny on Instagram, and it was like, we're all either going to come out of this like hunks, chunks, monks or something. So yeah, do you know what I mean? And it was like, I feel like it's just been such a hard time for everybody, and we all have ways to deal with things. I've seen so many of these amazing transformation pics, and I'd like take my hat off to you if you're a woman or a man who has grabbed this situation by the balls and just gone, I'm going to use this for like complete self-improvement, then hats off to you. Like, if you've learned a language, like, oh my god, you're amazing. Wow. If you now play the cello, then wow. But actually, if you just sort of struggled, if you missed your friends, if you missed your family, if your kids drove you up the wall, if you had to have a glass of wine a night to deal with it, and if you did cry 3 out of 7 days, then that's absolutely fine as well. And I cannot stress that enough. It has been awful being separated from my family, and so scary knowing that those people losing their lives and people losing loved ones, that some days I didn't have the energy to do a 20-minute HIIT workout, and I didn't want to eat kale, and all of that is absolutely fine. Like, yeah. I feel like you need to just feel your feels and embrace every day and not be too hard on yourself. So I feel like some people probably struggled with the lack of control and lent on their nutrition negatively because of that. But I just want everyone to not be so hard on themselves. Like, I had to learn that through lockdown. I had to learn that some days I just wanted to lie on the sofa and eat M&Ms, and that was okay. And then I found that other days, like, I did have energy and I did feel positive, and I did do sunrise yoga and drink a green juice and check in on all my friends. But it was such a roller coaster, a corona coaster, if you will. And I just think being like kind to yourself and not comparing yourself to others, because comparison is the thief of joy. Is probably the most important thing to just take away from the lockdown experience, probably.
Oh, you mentioned earlier on as well, you said you turned to food to cope with stuff, but you should have really dealt with what was actually going on behind it. But how are you meant to know? And actually, I look at it in a different way, that turning to food sometimes is actually really clever, because you've dealt with it in a way. Yes, it won't serve you well for forever, but in that moment in time, at least you've done something. So it's very hard to get into the mindset of saying, okay, I did overeat, but you kind of fed an emotion or a feeling at that point in time. And that's an important process. And then once that becomes self-harm, because it can be repeated every day or to more of an extent,
of course,
then it needs work. But like Vicky's just said to everybody listening, everybody probably did at some point turn to food for one reason or another. I mean, we were all in the kitchen baking away. What else can you do? We're quite clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to give ourselves credit. Exactly. Mm. And so I've got one more question for me, then lots from our listeners on this subject. And it's more about the fact that I think we are being judged in society, and celebrity culture for you must be, I don't know, is it different from social media? And is there any kind of running theme within the two? So do you find that the same pressures happen to you on social media as they do in the kind of celebrity world? Is there this unspoken, oh, she's obviously been on a diet kind of thing?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's really hard. I think obviously there is huge crossover and the worlds are intrinsically linked, especially now that our jobs are becoming broader. I think television in itself, like, I hate to become all industry, but it is a dying art, like with Netflix and all these streaming things. Like, you have to, if you are a TV presenter, you have to ultimately diversify. And that's what I've found over the last couple of years. So if I was just relying on my TV income, I'm not saying I'd struggle or anything like that, but especially over the last 6 months, like, I would have been pretty fucked. So I now consider myself to be yes, a TV personality, but also an influencer to a certain extent, which is a scary term to think I could influence anybody, but I do try and be responsible. So yes, so I think they are intrinsically linked now, and because of that you have to be aware of the messaging you're putting out. And yeah, I do think I feel the pressure that you feel from both are very similar. But I think I kind of feel like social media is slightly more progressive. I think you turn on TV, especially mainstream British TV, and all the women look a certain way, predominantly. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I often like walk through this morning and I'm like, I am the curviest woman here. Like, I often feel like that. Like, absolutely. Like, it's, and it might be my own personal hang up or insecurity, or it might be fat. Like, I'll completely leave that to your own deliberation. But yeah, I often think I am definitely the curviest woman here. And I'm absolutely fine with that, because I'm flying a flag for myself and how I like to look and how I know I'm healthy. But then actually you go on social media and there are so many women, so many different shapes, so many different colors, just owning it and showing their cellulite and showing our roles and embracing this new, perfectly imperfect normal. And I kind of feel like, God, I like it here. Don't get me wrong, there are bad people and there's some people who say some really bad things on social media. I totally get that. Let's forget about them for a second. Let's just focus on the wealth, the variety that is being like shown and celebrated. And I think we have to give social media some credit. It's nice to know there's different body shapes that are all beautiful. We often don't see enough of that in British
television. Love that. That's so, so true. And do you know what? It probably wasn't in your head. There is a complete lack of diversity, body shape, sizes in mainstream media, and it is a problem. And I feel like after, it's a totally different subject and it's not for this podcast, but Black Lives Matters, even having that conversation kind of awoken another area that should be addressed. So that I think we're getting there in society very, very, it's too slow, but at least we're kind of moving in a positive direction now, which leads
progress is still progress. I know what you're saying.
Exactly. That is exactly what I'm saying. So I've got questions from listeners. I didn't want to give away exactly who the guest was, but I took questions for this subject of dieting and yo-yos and dealing with, you know, your inner demons for you, Vicky. So they're going to be over the moon when they hear that you've answered the question.
I love this.
I know. So Sarah has said, now I wonder what your take would be on this, Vicky. She said, what's the best way to lose weight for a wedding dress? I don't feel my best unless I reach this set size.
Don't lose weight for a wedding dress. Find one that fits, man. Jesus, girl. I bet you're beautiful. Oh, I bet you're so lush. Yeah. Oh, my God. I so feel this. Do you know, I had an account, Rhianna, get on this. I actually had an Instagram account called Vicky's Bridal Bod. And it was all about my journey of me slimming in to being what I deem to be the perfect size for a bride.
I completely missed that. You poor thing.
Good, I'm pleased. I'm pleased you missed it. I would have been in trouble.
How would you, I don't know how, your poor mental health at that point, that pressure that must have put on you, Vicky.
I think, like, God, I could blame other people and I could say whatever I wanted. But I think the actual truth of the matter is I was not happy in a relationship. And there's just so many wheels in motion, so I chose to take control of something else. You know what I mean? As I mentioned it before. So no, Sarah, I completely empathise with where you're coming from here. Yeah, but do you know what? Like, I remember reading years ago, and this is like, do you remember when WAG culture was huge? Do you remember Colleen McLaughlin when she married Wayne Rooney? Yeah. And I remember, like, she was so famous for having lovely curves and being gorgeous. And she just took this real stand against it. And, like, love her or hate her, I'm not getting into it. But she said, listen, Wayne fell in love with me because I look like this, because I've got boobs and a bum. Yeah. And she was like, I don't want to ruin the run-up to my wedding by depriving myself by having, like, what, two gin and tonics on me hen do because I'm worried that I'll eat a kebab at the end if I have too many. Or I don't want to, like, not taste the cakes at my own cake tasting. Like, I don't want to be that person just so I can see I fit into a certain size dress. No one says you're label, lass.
No.
So instead, she threw it all out the window. She trained hard for her mental health to keep her, like, focused and less stressed, which we all know, like, is great. And she just had lovely facials and enjoyed the process. And on our wedding day, looked incredible. And isn't that what we all want? We want to look like ourselves. Like, I'm sure your fella will say, like, I want to marry the woman I fell in love with her boobs and her bum and all of the bits. So please don't ever slim into a wedding dress. Like, find one that fits and own it, you beautiful woman.
I love that response, Vicky. Oh, Sarah, you've heard it from Vicky there. That's brilliant. It's quite relevant because, Vicky, you mentioned this earlier. Irina has says, what do you think of the keto diet? Does it work?
So have being someone, does it say that was from Irina?
Irina, yeah.
Irina. Hi, Irina. So first of all, like, I've absolutely tried a version of it, I think. So I'd be such a hypocrite if I wasn't to acknowledge that. And it did work. Like, I lost a lot of weight in a short space of time. But also, like, I really missed carbs. This is when we had the dancing baguettes, you remember from earlier. I didn't enjoy the diet. Like, I constantly felt like I was missing out. It didn't feel like, even at the time, with the limited amount of nutritional knowledge I had, I knew something wasn't right. Like, eating steaks and cheese and thinking it's healthy, like, there was definite alarm bells ringing, even years ago when I did it. You are scared to go out and eat with anybody, so your social life is hugely impacted, which, of course, is a guaranteed way to fall off the wagon. It's not feeling like you have a life. And also, this is a complete and utter, probably gross byproduct, but my breath was terrible.
Yeah.
My breath was absolutely terrible. My body probably wasn't getting what it needed. So no, you need, like, soluble fiber. You need carbs in some form or another in your diet. So yes, it will work and you lose weight, but it's an unhealthy way to do it. And you won't enjoy yourself, and you'll probably see dancing carbs. So just prepare yourself for, like, a croissant doing the Macarena somewhere. It'll happen.
You have the best one-liners. I can't cope.
Oh, please, someone's enjoying them.
I think when I do the promotion of this podcast, I'm going to have to do some quotes for this. It's a classic. Right, if we go to the last question we've got is from Amelia. And she says, has yo-yo dieting affected your period?
Oh, hi, Amelia. So I have an implant in my arm as a contraception. I don't know why I'm showing Ray it now. You guys can't see.
Yeah, she's showing me. I can't see the implant. I can see an arm.
No, he's way underneath it. And I've had that for a very long time. So not this one in particular. I get it changed, which again is something I discovered. It's probably got to come out soon if I do plan on having children in the next couple of years. That's another thing. So my periods are regulated through that, and I find I'm okay. Yo-yo dieting, I'm lucky. Although I was not the healthiest or safest when I was slightly more ignorant and young, it hasn't had a huge impact and ramification on me health. I think, although I yo-yoed and I jumped and I flip-flopped and did all of the back and forth things, I didn't go too extreme. So I'm really lucky. I have been really lucky as well, because I know I haven't been as kind as I should have been to my body. So no, I'm okay, but I do know it is possible. So yeah, please take care of yourself, man.
Yeah, exactly. And it could do, but like Vicky said, when impact, you're still protected, but either way, it's probably not the way to go. So Vicky, we've just got our fact or fiction round now as the last part of the podcast. Okay.
I love this. Okay, go. I'm so fed up.
Okay, right. So fact or fiction to the following question. Okay, here we go. Carbs make you fat.
It's fiction. Nothing makes you fat. Enjoying things in moderation is fine.
There you go.
Eating loads and loads of things makes you fat.
Exactly. Gluten-free foods are healthier.
I think that's fiction. Exactly. Is it fiction? Yeah, fiction. Okay, amazing.
Cheap alcohol is more fattening.
I really wouldn't know, but I'd just say fiction. I think it's probably like, I feel like it's like tastes worse. It probably tastes like pain stripper, but no, I don't feel like there's any sugary ramifications, is it? Am I wrong? Fiction?
This is funny. Weight gain happens much faster than weight loss.
Oh, I mean, I feel like it's true. I feel like it takes us like weeks to get into a good routine, and then it just takes us like one night on the gins and pizza for it all to unravel. So I'm going to say fact.
Yep.
Is it fiction? Is it fact?
No, you're right. It's fact.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm so pleased.
If you're eating right, depending on the type of weight loss method, exercise is as important as eating in losing weight.
So there's all those abs are made in a kitchen type slogans, isn't there? And I do believe your nutrition is like 80% of the battle. But for me, something clicks mentally when I'm training at the same time. So I need them both. I absolutely need them both. So from a personal preference, I'm going to say like fact, but I bet it's fiction. Perfect. Oh, is it right? Yes! Oh my God!
You're going to maintain it. I'm loving this. I don't mean to make you feel like you're on edge or anything, but it's really entertaining. Snacking in between meals doesn't help weight loss.
So again, you read all those horrible things like little pickers wear big knickers, don't you? But I think, and this is, I know how horrible, I actually totally love snacking. Someone once told me, and you might tell me this is wrong, I don't know, I'm so gullible, but your digestive system's kind of like a furnace, like a fire, and in order to keep a fire going, you have to keep stoking it and like adding more wood. So essentially, like by snacking in between meals and like nuts, boiled eggs, berries, whatever, you're stoking the fire and making sure your metabolism is continually going. So I think snacking is great.
The exact analogy I use in clinic of a furnace.
The
furnace is correct. The more logs you put on a fire, the faster the fire. If you're just eating paper, which means just leaves all day long, you're not really going to get very far in terms of a happy body. So yeah, for some people snacking works, for others it doesn't, but ultimately it's your body. You've got to keep it ticking and good snacks. Last question. Breakfast is an important meal of the day.
I've completely opened myself up to so many different people's ways of thinking that, and again, I mentioned I'm gullible, like I just believe whatever I've been told most recently, but I have a personal trainer who I love, and he just kind of says, like, imagine you've got £1,000 for your day. He's like whether you choose to spend like £700 in the morning or like £700 at night, like as long as you're using your £1,000, like what suits you, that's absolutely fine. So I know like some people absolutely love to start the day with a massive breakfast. My boyfriend is one of them. And I totally support that. It sets him up for the day. But I'm not that hungry first thing. Whereas in the evening, I eat a scabby horse. So I prefer to totally flip that on its head. And my meals get bigger as the day goes on. But I know like in the past that's been frowned upon, but I totally just feel like I'm spending my £1,000 regardless. So who does it matter? So I'm going to say no, like you can have a big meal whenever you want it.
Bingo. I mean, honestly, this £1,000 analogy, it's so tricky because everyone's different. Some people are hungry in the morning. Other people just aren't. The only research that ever came from, just for everyone listening to know, is that breakfast eaters are more likely to keep weight off long term. And that was on a large research study done a long time ago. But that's not everybody. Some people keep weight off long term and they're happy and healthy and they don't need it. So yeah. Vicky, that was a really good fact or fiction round.
I loved it. I had such a nice time, but I was so scared. Like, I get, this is again my competitive side. Like, I'm sweating, like behind my knees are sweating. Like, you wouldn't believe. I'm so into it.
I felt nervous even interviewing you on here. So I've been relating behind the
knee thing. Don't be nervous about me. I'm such a goofball. This has been so nice. I'm so sorry it took so long.
No, Vicky, it's been a pleasure. If you could leave our listeners, because with one take-home message, a food for thought, we call it at the end of every episode, because if I were to think of something, mine would be that it doesn't matter what other people think of you. I think it's something that Vicky's really hammered home. You were saying how you thought everybody expected you to be a certain way, but the minute you showed your true colors, suddenly you got this overwhelming feeling of acceptance and love.
Yeah.
And if you could leave our listeners with a take-home message, anything, because I think today has been so insightful, what would that be?
So the weirdest thing, like, nobody runs up to me and goes, "You look class in that bikini." Nobody runs up to me in the street and goes like, "Oh my God, like, how much do you weigh? You look amazing right now." No one goes, what clothes size are you? Like, nobody cares about this. They go, like, "You made me feel like it was okay to not be single in my 30s. And someone goes like, "Oh my God, like, I love your platform. You have so much fun." People remember the way you made them feel. They don't remember how, like, good you looked in a selfie or what size, dress size you were. Like, it's completely not important. What matters is you are happy, you are healthy, you're kind to yourself and others. So, like, find a lifestyle that works for you and please just enjoy it. Be strong, be happy, be healthy, and just always be good to others. I feel like that's just, know what's important in life, and it's not a number on a scale, man.
Wow, Vicky, I have no words for how kind and generous you've been sharing and being an open book. You're honestly helping so many people, and thank you for coming on Food for Thought. It means so much. Thank you.
My absolute pleasure. You're a complete delight. I'm going to go. I'm probably going to have a snuggle day. So I just wish you well with the rest of the podcast, honey. Please keep in touch. Bye, everybody. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love what's coming next week, so make sure that you click subscribe to be the first to hear it. If you have time to, we'd really appreciate it if you want to leave a review so that we can reach those higher highs in the charts and hopefully help more people. That is our mission here with this podcast. For more information about my Retrition Clinic, the books, healthy recipes, and so much more, please visit Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.